Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Today, I'm broadcasting from Prosser, Washington. That is where my sister lives. And as you can see, I'm outdoors this morning. Forgive the sunglasses, but the sun is right in my face. But I decided I needed to still come on anyway. So it's time to grab your cup of coffee. Got my angel wings with me this morning. Sit back and relax. And let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above for today, Friday, and for the weekend, also Saturday and Sunday. And it happens to be a fairly quiet weekend. Now, just because I say that doesn't mean that there's nothing going on. There is definitely stuff going on. Just a couple of housekeeping things here first today. Since I'm outdoors, I do not have access to a plug-in. My battery was charged fully, but sometimes when you're on air and you're using cameras and you're using, you know, the internet, the Wi-Fi, the signal can get a little wonky, and also my battery might drain faster on my computer. So I will go until 9 if it's possible. If I have to break off earlier, it'll be because my battery is dying. There is power over there, but I couldn't figure out how to sit over there. I just want you to take a look around at the environment that I find myself in this morning, because it is absolutely gorgeous here. The sun is coming up, so we're looking over here at the east. And let's see if I can move my camera here for you. I'm sitting on the deck of my sister's house. But if you take a look around, this is the environment I'm in. It's gorgeous. I don't know if you can see the cows out there. There's little marmots, they're called, on this rock pile out here. And they stand up. They kind of look like little prairie dogs periodically. And they are very industrious, right? They just keep running back and forth. I haven't seen them. Oh, yeah, there's one right there. Oh, anyway, so I'm in a beautiful setting, even if it is a bit sad to be here watching my sister as she is transitioning from this life to the next. But I still could get here with you all this morning. So here's what we're going to be talking about primarily. Today, the moon is in Gemini, one of my favorite signs, of course, as I am a Gemini, and we'll be transitioning into Cancer as we get into tomorrow. So we're looking at right now kind of a bridging weekend between communication and social aspects and into family and more into the focus of family and home. But we started our conversation on Monday about Pluto's move into the gate 41, which happened yesterday, by the way. And I wanted to finish up talking about that as well, because there's a lot of juiciness here in that particular gate. And I don't think we got to finish talking anywhere about it. As well, today, the moon in Gemini will be squaring Saturn, Mars, still closely conjunct in the sign of Pisces. And so I want to tell you about that. And there are a couple of minor aspects going on this weekend. They're minor because they don't always interact in the same way with everyone. And one is Mars in a semi-square to Pluto. So the fact that we've got Mars and Pluto dancing in any kind of dance bears our chatting about. And we also have Mercury in a semi-sextile to Jupiter, also minor, very minor. That's a 30-degree relationship with one another, but still worth chatting about. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing this morning. And again, for those of you who are just joining me, because I'm out in the glare, I can't always see your comments. I do see Jacqueline Tyler out there. Good morning. And Teddy, good morning to you. And Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and J-Lo and Amy D. It is so beautiful here, Amy, but it's also a little chilly. It's 46 as I'm sitting outside, but I'm used to colder temperatures, so that's okay. But it gets blazing hot here in the summer, like well over 100 degrees. And I don't like that. I don't like that. I like my side of the mountains where it's temperate. All right. So if you're just joining me this morning, I am broadcasting from Prosser, Washington. My signal may come and go a bit, so if you get an instability message, it's likely on my end as well. I will hang out here for as long as I can with my battery because I don't have a plug-in where I happen to be sitting. So anyway, let's start with the moon in Gemini. The moon in Gemini is, like I said, one of my favorite positions of the moon. And primarily that's because of the communicative nature of the sign of Gemini. And the information gathering and the information sharing that happens in this sign. So this is a weekend, or at least today and tomorrow, and actually the moon moved in there yesterday, a day for chatting, for seeking information, for taking a look at following, what I always like to say is following the threads of your curiosity, right? What piques your interest? What makes you want to follow a piece of information? What new information is dropping in for you? Because when the moon is in Gemini, we are always like open circuits, right? There's this openness to new information coming in that we are, you know, activated with. And this is kind of intellectual curiosity, right? It's not just, it's not as deep as the Sagittarian energy would be, Sagittarius being the opposite sign. It's more on the superficial, like one thing leading to another, your curiosity kind of taking you into new territory. But Gemini is also a social sign. It is one of the signs because of its communication abilities, because of the witty nature of the moon here. There's always the possibility of meeting new people, striking up interesting conversations, and having that social interaction. Remember, Gemini is the sign of networking as well. So we always have the possibility of networking because we're meeting new people. We might be in a social situation. Maybe we're at a convention. Maybe we're at a meeting, or maybe we're with other friends and we meet new people. And with Gemini, our curiosity about those people is piqued and we want to find out more. So we go on this process of digging in to the information field. Now, as well, Gemini is a sign of versatility and adaptability. It's very flexible in its way of interacting with the world. In fact, it's called a mutable sign. And a mutable sign is one that is flexible and adaptable. So we have that going. But then when we think of the moon also holds a certain amount of flexibility and adaptability as it's always on the move. Right? It's always changing. And while it's emotional change, intuitive change with the moon, with Gemini, it can tap into that information stream and bring us interesting tidbits of info, right? That we might be emotionally connected to. And we may not be emotionally connected to it either. I mean, Gemini itself is not an emotional sign. But the moon in Gemini can bring up, strike up emotions about the things that we're learning about or the things that we're discussing. So you might see, like, I use a lot of hand gestures when I'm talking. I can't help myself. If I hold on to something, then I almost feel like I can't think. Gemini is very activated, right? So talking with hands and so forth and being able to become vibrant. And that's something that we're all, you know, involved with at this moment in time with the moon transiting through here. There is a sort of restlessness that comes with this sign and this moon placement. Restless, maybe bored, out of boredom. So it's maybe a good time to do something, to put the emotional energy to work for you. That might mean, you know, working outdoors. It might mean purposefully going out to where people would be so that you can have, you know, that social engagement with them. But there's a tendency with the moon in Gemini for us to be more, maybe not as impulsive as if the moon were in Aries, but certainly that restlessness to be pushing us to do things or to be things. that maybe we're not ready for yet, right? So we want to watch what the tendency is here to be pushed into places and doing things that aren't ready yet, right? That we're not ready to do yet. And also, because the moon is so changeable, and because the nature of Gemini is changeable, we also have that scattered feeling, right? When we're trying to focus our energy on something, maybe you have to focus your mind on writing a report. Maybe you have to focus on getting something done. It could be difficult with the moon in Gemini because our tendency is to, you know, like a magpie just flew by and caught my attention, right? It's that kind of thing that happens and you're like, oh, look at that, which causes us to not stay as focused as we need to be on certain things. So you want to be aware of that. So communication is the emphasis with the moon in Gemini. And I just want to talk about communication for a minute, because, you know, we are all familiar with communication as the talking, right? How we have a conversation, or how we broadcast our voice. But what we forget about when the moon is moving through Gemini is the listening portion of communication. It's a two-way street. It's a dual sign, right? So communication also involves our need to listen. We can't just sit here half-heartedly in a conversation with someone and nod off, right? Then there's not communication. It's really one-sided. And the other person, while they're getting their voice fulfilled, you know, they're often waiting for the reaction or the at least participation from the other person in the conversation. So listening, not just hearing, but listening. What are they really saying, right? What's really coming out? And from the moon in Gemini, it could be something, you know, near and dear to the heart. It could be something so worthwhile. They could hold a piece of information for you that you would miss otherwise. So it's important that we listen, right? If you are in conversations with people, hear the words, hear the emotion behind the words, hear the tone, all of that super, super important during this time. Now, I also said that while the moon was in Gemini, it was going to square Saturn and Mars. So we talked on Monday about the Saturn-Mars conjunction. That occurred on Wednesday. That was the exact. Sorry, my screen's bumping because I keep moving. And the Saturn-Mars conjunction in Pisces was likely a driver of some really good imagination, fantasy kind of energies that then Mars would want you to put to work, and that Saturn would want you to have a plan for putting out into the world. And it can also, you know, it can be very difficult energy too, because Saturn wants discipline and structure, and Mars just wants to go. Who cares if the highway isn't done yet? I'll deal with that when I get there. Saturn says, wait, no. You got to make a plan. So now today with the moon coming into the square, a square is a challenge, right? A square is maybe obstacles in the way of putting out what it is that you might have decided you wanted to do. Remember, we're still in the new moon phase as well. So we're all trying to maybe set intentions or get some things done. And we have the first big challenge to that perhaps today, with that square, the moon adding some emotional information. Is this what you really want? Right? The first block that comes up, and I got to laugh at this a little bit, because the first thing that happened this morning is I got up late. Somehow, you know, the alarm didn't go off. I probably needed to set it. And I got up late, and then I was like, okay, where am I going to broadcast from? Right. This is, even though I've been to this house a million times, it's unfamiliar to me in terms of how I would work from here. So yet I knew I had this desire, right? This is the Mars conjunct Saturn. I had this desire to do this, But all kinds of emotional baggage kept getting in the way. First off, I come out here and I set myself up and I'm like, no, I can't sit out here and do this. I'm too far away from the signal. So I gather up all my stuff and I go back to my bedroom here and I sit down and I'm looking at the camera angles going, nope, can't do that here either. But I had faith still that I was going to do this. So I got my paperwork all done, you know, the stuff that I like to put together. And then I went at the last minute at 7:48 my time. So what's that? 10 to 8. So 10 minutes. I decided, nope, I'm going back outside to do my broadcast because that's what I really wanted to do. So here we have the nature of the obstacles, right, that were in my way this morning. And this is the nature of creativity. There are times when, you know, the need or the want, the desire to express, i.e. moon in Gemini, i.e. Pisces being the home of both Saturn and Mars at the moment, is so powerful that we're willing to jump through whatever hoops that we need to, go over whatever stumbling blocks might be in the way. So I encourage you all, find your little corner of the deck with the sun shining on you, irregardless of what your mind thinks about the creative energy of sitting outside to do a broadcast. And I'm relating this to what's going on in my own life right now. But, you know, you all have something like this somewhere going on in your own chart or in your own life. So and I got to tell you guys, because my glasses darken when I go outside, it's hard for me to read the comments here. And it's even harder because also my reading glasses. I see Patty talking to me. Hello, Patty. I see Teddy talking. Who else popped in here? I cannot tell. So I'll go back through comments later, because if you have questions, I'll want to address those questions for you. And if there aren't any questions, that's cool. Then I didn't miss too much. But know that I'm not ignoring all of you out there. I just can't really see what it is that you're saying. Okay, now let's go backwards for a minute, because we also on Monday talked about Mercury in retrograde and how Mercury in retrograde was coming into conjunction with the Sun. So now we're blending the energy of communication. Right? Don't you see a theme going on here about communication? So now we're blending the energies of the little messenger planet with the very high energy of the sun. The sun representing your purpose, right? What you're good at, the essential you. And right now with the sun sitting in Aries, our essential selves are finding new pathways forward. And when Mercury in retrograde conjuncts the sun, it is the beginning of the Mercury cycle, right? It's kind of weird that it would start during a planet's retrograde, but that's how it works with Mercury. So it's step one of the Mercury cycle. Sorry, my allergies are also activated when I'm on this side of the mountains. It's drier here. I'm used to the more damp energy on the other side, but over here it's dry. Anyway, the Mercury in retrograde cycle begins. The dance with the sun begins when he is retrograde and conjuncts the sun. So you might also be taking a look at, first of all, where is Aries in your chart? If Aries, for example, in this chart that I'm looking at, because I printed this up before I left home, Mercury is in Aries in the 11th house. The 11th house is the house of wishes and hopes and dreams, humanitarianism. It is the house where we can see the results of money in our career and professional choices. So that's kind of a different way to look at it. But if that's where Mercury and the Sun are conjunct, then there must be something new, a new message being deposited, a messenger delivering something of new value for this, if this were a person, to do as far as a dream or a vision, a goal is concerned. So you want to take a look at where is Aries in your chart by house, right? And Aries by house is going to show you where this new beginning is being generated. So remember, there was a new moon solar eclipse in Aries on Monday. That's new. That's a new beginning. That's an intention to set that moves us forward in some way, shape, or form. And then we had Saturn conjunct, or Mars conjunct Saturn in Pisces, which feeds energy into that new moon around creation, right? Around, you know, looking at the bigger picture of what it is that we want to create in our world, what we want to create in our personal worlds or collectively, and putting it to work, putting it, you know, into practice. And then we have Mercury in retrograde in Aries coming to chat, as it were, with the sun. So that house in your chart, both Aries and Pisces, are very highly activated. So you've got almost two areas of your life that feel very much like they're calling out to you in some way. In my own personal chart, that Pisces is on the ninth house of growth and expansion, Aries on the 10th house of career and profession. And that seems to be on my mind a lot about, you know, where am I going to take my business? Where am I going to take my career? What do I really want to focus on? What really makes me happy in all of that? I'm looking for the creative expression, and I have yet to find it. That's okay. I'm not too upset by that because I have other things that are taking up my attention. That's the 10th and the 9th house. If we're looking at, let's say you have Aries in your 4th house, and it's all about home and family, it's a possibility you've been looking at upgrading your home or moving somewhere. Maybe you need to redecorate or somehow put a new spin on the house that you're in, or maybe you're expanding your family and that type of thing. So Aries there would be all about the home environment. And then if you're looking at Aries energy, one house back, the 3rd house might be where Pisces is in your chart. And that could be feeding in information around communication, right? So creative communication, maybe you're in a family situation where you don't talk much. You don't have good communication between you and other members of the family. So it's possible that, you know, in your life right now, you're focusing on how do I build more of a rapport with family members? How do I open up lines of communication with other members of my family? That type of thing. So, and of course, there's any number of combinations for all of you out there. I couldn't certainly go through all of them, but just know there's a lot of really good information if you just sort of focus in on what is uppermost in my mind and heart right now. That's where you need to put your time and your effort, right? What your effort, like your attention is in naturally in a certain part of your life. So follow that. Where's that taking you? What's new there? Okay. So that retrograde, again, Mercury in the conjunction with the sun starts a new cycle of energy between the messenger planet and the sun. So that's why I was going off into different houses. Wherever that is, you may be getting new ideas, right? Inspired to take new action, wherever that is in your chart. All right. Now, let's go a little bit deeper then into Pluto at the gate 41. So, you know, Pluto doesn't change gates very often. And in this case, he's going to spend a couple of months at the gate 41 and then retrograde back to the gate 60, where he's been for over a year. And the gate 60, remembers the gate of limitation, sort of out of all of the ideas and all of the potentials in the world of what we might do, or who, of, you know, where we might go. The 60 says, pick one or pick two, but focus on it, right? Limit your focus to those things rather than all of the big things, right? You can only really focus on one or two things at a time. The gate 41 is completely different. The 41 is imagination. So it's as big and wide as the ocean is, right? It has the bigger scope of imagination. Like Star Trekian sort of ideas that, you know, we want to bring into the real world. So when Pluto is transiting for, and he will do this, he'll be back again into the 41 and he'll spend quite a bit of time there. We can imagine that the society that we live in, because Pluto being a pretty far planet, right? He's far out there. He is more concerned with the collective interests, right? The bigger humanity type issues. And we can kind of envision that there might be a new ideal being born out of this. So you've got to remember, Pluto takes 248 years to go around his orbit. So the last time he would have been sitting at a gate 41-ish would have just been post-Revolutionary War in the US, just post the French Revolution, where what was happening was a lot of turmoil, certainly, but new ideas being born, new societal structures being born. The ideas and the ideals that we know today happened when Pluto started his transit through the 41, right? Out of the limitations, the gate 60, that would have been the beginning of those two wars. And of course, many other things going on around the globe at that time, too. Out of that, you know, focus, what are we really focused on? Came this birthing of these new ideals. Now, I'm not saying they're good or bad or right or wrong, but think of the impact on society, on people, on humanity in general from that period of time, right? It's pretty amazing. And we're here at the crux of another time period like this, right? We've come through limitations. We see the limitations of the ideals that were birthed back then. And now we have to birth a new picture. Where do we want to take this from here? Where do we want to go from here? And again, Pluto at the 41 suggests that we have a transformational idea or ideal, maybe even a sort of utopian ideal. Hold on that one, because I don't know that humanity is quite ready for utopia yet, but it was a sort of utopian ideal that our forefathers had that brought what is has become the United States, right? What did become France, right? Pulling them out of monarchy and into a modern government type. But again, over time, these things didn't happen overnight, but they started with imagination. It's they started with the fantasy of what would it be like if there was a democratic world? What would it be like if we didn't have kings and queens, or if we weren't ruled by kings and queens, or influenced unduly by that kind of a government, what would happen? And what happened was the world changed over time, right? It didn't happen, like I said, all at one time, but it changed. So now, fast forward, right? We're 248 years hence, and we are again looking at what more is possible. What more is possible in the face of what we've learned about the ideas and the ideals and the inspiration that we had 200 and some years ago? And what would we want to see for the future? And Aquarius being a sign of the people. Note the Declaration of Independence of the United States starts out with "We the people." It's about we the people. Aquarius, ideals, we the people. So while it just seems kind of minor, oh yeah, Pluto's changing gates, it really isn't. There's a certain amount of innovation now that is available. There's a certain amount of progressiveness that is available and necessary for us to move forward. And Pluto's transit through the sign of Aquarius and through the gate 41 brings about a profound shift like this on a global scale. So it's not just the US or France. It'll be global. It'll be in all the nations of the world. Now, The Gate of Fantasy, the Gate 41. Fantasy, I think, is a really, I like the word imagination much better, but, you know, okay, we'll go with fantasy for a moment because, you know, it is the fanciful, right? The ability to see beyond, right? To hold something in your mind that does not yet exist, right? We held the thought of going to the moon in our collective minds before we went there. Before we could go to Mars, we held the collective vision of that. So what collective visions might we be holding now? And how does that serve humanity? So visualization is a big part of this. If we can see it, we can create it. If we have it as an idea or an inspiration, we can create it. So while Pluto is transiting through this gate 41, there can be a powerful emphasis on redefining our collective dreams, our collective visions, and the fantasies for our future. And again, it's for our future, and our future isn't tomorrow necessarily. This is like going to unveil itself over time. You know, 248 years hence, our relatives, our ancestors are going to look back at this time and, like me, looking back 250 years from here and going, oh, I can see where these ideals were planted and where they began to take root and grow. They'll be doing the same thing. So we are in a very powerful time of seeding the future. And this period of time can also set us up for an intense period of exploring of new ideas, of new technologies, and social paradigms. Social paradigms, right? And what does that mean? All people might be compelled to break free from the old, outdated beliefs and the limitations that those beliefs brought about. And as well, we may be more willing to embrace the innovative, the forward moving, the forward thinking approach to life, right? Because the old is fading. We're seeing the ramifications of that old world. We're trying to move forward, but we're still being held back by the outdated past. Right? The outdated past. So it's time for us to explore the alternative realities, unconventional solutions, right? Try something different. If you've never tried it before, likely you're going to find purchase with it. It may work when nothing else has. Now, at the same time, Pluto's influence brings about an intensity to this and to depth to that vision. And we may find ourselves, at least initially, especially initially, confronting our deep-seated fears, the subconscious patterns of a people, right? Of humanity. And it's interesting to see how this might play out because, you know, in Gene Keys, this is a start codon. Remember, the gene keys are built on human design and the different gates become gene keys. And the gene keys align themselves in codon rings. And the 41 is a start codon. And a start codon in your DNA tells the body to begin to build something, right? So it is the coming together of the bases, the pairs of proteins and enzymes or whatever they're called that come together to create something new, build a new cell, right? In your skin or in your body, right? That's a start codon. And the code is written already. So the code is there. So it's not like we are bereft of ideas or possibilities because it's already there in the deep well within us. All we have to do is give it a voice and let it come out, right? So the intensity to this, though, means that we have to confront the things that are holding us back. We have to look it square in the face, right? We have to look at all of our fears and what are our desires, right? And the subconscious patterns that have been hidden from us just beneath the surface, right? This can be a transformative process. Certainly it is with Pluto, and it can lead us to greater self-awareness, empowerment, growth, and evolution as a people, also as an individual. But Pluto works on the bigger level. He works more on that level of the collective consciousness, right? So while there is the potential for you personally to be involved in this because you're a part of the collective, it is really working. It's like, I want to call it like trickle down, but not like the economics of the Reagan era, more like these bigger ideas that trickle into humanity as a whole, but then also you as an individual, a part of the whole. Now, on the collective level, this transit can coincide with significant changes in technology, social movements, and cultural norms. So the things that we take for granted as a way of life are upended during this period of time. We can focus more appropriately, perhaps with Aquarian energy, on equality, on freedom, on social justice, and people are striving to be more inclusive and equitable, even though for the moment, it looks like we're still pretty polarized, right? I only need to walk into that door right there, and my brother-in-law is watching Fox News. OMG, the worst one-sided news you could ever watch. And I just can't even bear it, right? Because it's so much about pulling us backwards in time. And we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard at this point. So social justice, we're trying to create a more equitable society. And we're not going to do that when the fears are in the way, when we have fear of other, when we have fear of losing hold on our money, when we have a fear of not being healthy, right? So we have to find a way to move forward. And while we're moving forward, letting go of the fears. Big, big, big news, right? It's big. Social justice, right? A lot of the movements that we saw over the last couple of years, Black Lives Matter, the hashtag Me Too, those were like the precursors of this Aquarian energy, where the marginalized, Pluto deals with those on the margins, sought inclusivity, right? So Pluto bringing the margins inward to the center. And what does that mean for us? Only time is really going to tell. So on, it's essential then, as we are moving through this time, to approach this transit of Pluto through the gate 41 fantasy with awareness, mindfulness, with an openness in our minds and in our hearts to explore what's not been explored, to talk about those things that remain hidden from us. Why are we still dealing with racial inequality? Why are we still dealing with issues around a woman's right to choose for her own body? On and on, right? Social issues. And this can be potentially disruptive. This, I can see, you know, all of these things upending, and maybe upending more than once through this time period. But if we embrace the transformative power of Pluto and the visionary energy of Aquarius, wow, we can harness this transit in an opportunity for personal and collective evolution, one that we haven't really had on this planet for a while. We're looking for a more progressive and visionary future, birthing it. And how exciting that we're here as a part of all of that birthing, right? It's pretty spectacular. All right. Again, I am having trouble seeing comments. Good Lord. Okay. I see Chester's mom out there. Good morning. Good morning, Terry. I miss you. Good morning. J-Lo says, I love having a clean slate moving forward. 43 or 41.3 is her radiance in the second house. Good morning, Christine. You rode your bike to work this morning, Terry? Oh my gosh, wasn't it freezing cold? Interesting. Teddy, Energizer Bunny is watching. Good stuff. All right. I can't see the very bottom ones, but I hope you are all understanding what I'm talking about. And I apologize for the brightness. I can see the reflection of my necklace at myself. It's bright. Any questions about what this might mean for you? I don't even know what time it is here. 8:40. I still have 20 minutes. Woohoo! All right, good, because there's a couple of other things that I want to talk about. One is Mars coming into a semi-square with Pluto. So a semi-square. So a square is when planets are in a 90-degree relationship with one another, and it's very much obstacles, challenges. They kind of invite us via the challenge to go beyond the challenge, to grow, to expand, to move beyond. A semi-square is the half of that square. So it's 45 degrees between the planets rather than 90. And we call this a minor aspect. But I would suggest that when we're, there's a chicken walking across the yard. I would suggest that this is a semi-square between Mars and Pluto, and that it might actually have a little more oomph behind it, especially with Mars coming out of that conjunction with Saturn, Mars in Pisces, instigating action on imagination and creativity, maybe even, juicing up our intuition somewhat. And you know, with Pluto in Aquarius, the stimulation of new ideas, all the things we just talked about Pluto, Mars bringing a catalyzing energy to it. And what does a catalyst do? It starts the fire, right? It lights the match. It lights the fuse of what will be some changes. So when we look at Pluto in Aquarius, wherever Aquarius is in your chart is where there's this transformation happening. And where Mars is happening in your chart, which is Pisces, is where this imagination is taking hold. Maybe this little seed of an idea, right? I have a seed of an idea. I'm not sure I have the courage yet to take action on it, but I have the seed of an idea. And it is progressive, right? It's Aquarian. And what steps might I need to take in order to do it? What's holding me back personally from it? Right? What is holding me back from it? And all of you could look at that same thing. It doesn't matter where it is. I mean, it does matter where it is, but I mean, you don't have to go looking for it at this moment in time, because we've already talked about, look at Pisces in your chart, look at Aries in your chart, and now look at Aquarius in your chart. These, you know, three signs are holding some key information about your future. About your future. And where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Okay. But the semi-square or half the square makes it a little bit tricky because the challenges aren't so obvious, right? With a square, it's right in your face, like you tripped over it. But with a semi-square, you're not quite so sure. Is it there? Is there a challenge here? Is there a block in my path or not? I'm not sure. So it is more hidden from us. We have to go a little bit deeper. We might need to delve into what it is our real fear is, or what it is that is holding us back, in order to move through it, to move beyond it. All right. So that's the semi-square. But it's huge. It has huge implications in its littleness, right? I don't think any astrologer would come on air and say, oh, what about that Mars semi-square Pluto and its big impact on your life, because it's more subtle and it's not always visible, right? Again, it's like the fear in the dark that we have, right? There's nothing known. There's nothing really there that I can say is my challenge, but there's something that's holding me back. And this is our opportunity to deal with that. Now, the next piece that this weekend holds is Mercury in a semi-sextile to Jupiter. So here we go again. This is the half of a sextile. A sextile is a 60-degree relationship between the planet, and it's a harmony kind of thing, right? There's harmony in a sextile. It means that the two planets involved and the two signs that they're in have harmony. They have flow. They understand one another. They may not work the same way, but that's okay. They understand. When we have a semi-sextile, now we're cutting that sextile in half. So 60-degree sextile becomes a 30-degree semi-sextile. And a semi-sextile means then that the planets are in signs that are right next to one another, right? So we have Mercury in retrograde in Aries and Jupiter in Taurus. Those are neighboring signs. Neighboring signs aren't necessarily talking the same language, right? Aries is not talking the same language as Taurus. So there can be a bit of a challenge in a semi-sextile. So the Mercury retrograde in a semi-sextile with Jupiter means we may all still be waffling a little bit on what it is that we want to do moving forward from here. What ideas do we want to take action on? What is inspiring to us? Maybe you're not inspired yet. It hasn't occurred to you yet what it is that you're missing or what it is that you want to do or where you want to go. It may have occurred to you, but you have yet to take steps on it. So the semi-sextile between these two planets brings it a little bit more into crystallized focus for us. We're waffling, right? I'm waffling. I've got other things that are in the way at the moment. But it doesn't mean that I don't have the opportunity to try to take action. Right. This is like inspiring us perhaps to take up and look at old ideas that we've had. Right. Mercury is in retrograde. So is there something you did in the past that you could bring forward into the now? Possible. It's very possible. So it's okay to still be unsure of what direction exactly you're going to take. Mercury's still in retrograde until the 25th. And while we have these new beginnings, this energy, there's always these balancing things in the universe, by the way. So, you know, if we had all of this energy of new beginnings with nothing else to put the foot on the brake a little bit about, we would just have this runaway, our economy, runaway economy, right? We'd have a runaway, whatever it is that you're working on. So when we have challenges like Mercury in a semi-sextile or Mars in a semi-sextile to Pluto, it does offer us up a little bit more slow path to getting to where we want to go so that we really have time to bring consciousness and awareness to what we're doing. Otherwise, it's all impulse, right? It's all action. And then what are we constantly doing? Leaping into things and then leaping back out of things, going, oh no, that didn't work. I better go in a different direction. We never really take the time to integrate what it is the experiences are telling us about us. So sometimes we have these foot on the brake, foot on the gas kind of feelings. And this is one of those times where we have this new energy that's just flooded into the planet via a solar eclipse, via Mercury conjunct the sun. And yet we still have Mercury in retrograde. He's still in retrograde, irregardless of the fact that he just came to his new beginning. He's still in retrograde. So we're still considering. We're still reevaluating. We're still taking that moment, that breath to determine, well, what are my next steps? Is this the right way? So, you know, value that for yourself. You don't have to jump today just because we walked through the new moon window. You don't have to jump today just because we walked through the Mercury new cycle window, the Mercury new moon cycle. So slow it down a little bit. Focus in. Take, you know, pay attention to the thoughts that are coming back at you from the past. Are there things that you didn't complete? Are there things that you didn't, you know, flesh out fully that something in your life got in the way? Because the opportunity is during Mercury retrograde, especially to bring those things back, to breathe new life into them. Right? So there's that. And of course, in closing here today, we are readying ourselves for the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that'll occur on April 20th. So I believe that's just next week. And that conjunction will happen at 21 something degrees of Taurus. And it's a sort of epic coming together. You know, while Uranus and Jupiter meet every 13 to 14 years in a conjunction, they don't always meet in Taurus. It's been a longer period of time. I think all the way back to the 1940s, the early 40s, when these two came into conjunction. So we have this principle of growth and expansion in Jupiter, seeing the bigger picture, walking the higher road, being more progressive. Actually, Jupiter can be very progressive. And it meeting up with the energy of Uranus, which is revolutionary, a bit of a rebel, new. So we have new in a sign that likes to stay, is comfortable in its place. So it's an interesting dynamic. Now, these two have been in orb of one another since, I believe, December. So it's not like the conjunction, the day of the conjunction is all boom and all of that. It's been already occurring to us that these two planets coming together are representing something major, right? Something major. I mean, Jupiter won't conjunct Uranus again for another 12 and a half to 13 years. So it is sort of momentous in the scope of our lifetime. It's a momentous coming together. Next time they meet will be in Gemini, not Taurus, right? So it is, it's a big deal. So when we're talking Taurus, we're looking at safety and security and stability. And we're looking at the land, agriculture, how we grow our food, how we manage our livestock, right? Look, I think you could probably see there's a whole herd of them right out here, right? They're just doing their thing, just being cows, right? They're just wonderful to watch out there and how they talk to one another. So everything to do with the land and the earth is of Taurus qualities. So we might have the possibility of nation lines being redrawn, right? That's a big deal. When we look at some of the things going on, you know, there was a movement in Texas to secede from the U.S. That is civil war kind of talk, but it is also right in keeping with Jupiter and Uranus coming together, redrawing the lines, right? Redrawing the land. It could be the changing of our relationship with the land and how we farm, how we treat agriculture, how we treat animals. So much potential here, you know, about where do we go from here? And it relates to the earth. And that conjunction, of course, is just a moment in time, but it has been playing out over the course of time and will still be playing out even after Jupiter passes Uranus and in May moves into Gemini, right? It really won't close this phase between them until we get into Jupiter in Gemini in May. So now, as for you personally, where is this happening? Find Taurus in your chart. In my personal chart, Taurus is in the 11th house. So my new would be about how I deal with people, humanitarianism. What new vision or dream or hope or goals do I have? For you, it might be the first house. Maybe it's a whole new you that's being birthed here, right? You becoming the rebel, embodying the energy of the rebel, going out and doing what you love, doing what you want, rather than holding yourself back. So there's a lot of potential caught up here in good stuff. We'll talk more about it next week. I'm not sure Monday if I will still be here in Prosser or if I'll be back home. But now that I know I can come outside and do my show, I might not be so hesitant to come on air, even if I'm still here. Questions. Excuse me. Let me see if I can read these. Jolie, good morning to you. She has it in the 11th, or J-Lo has it in the 11th. Awesome. And I don't see any questions about it, comments, but okay. Well, I know it's not quite 9, but also I'm not sure how much battery life I have left, but I want to say thank you so much for joining me this morning in this abnormal, not normal, it's not abnormal, but not normal environment. I did not bring any cards with me, So I apologize for that. I can't draw a card. I don't know what I was thinking. I have like 50 decks. I could have picked one deck and brought it with me, but I did not. So draw your own cards. Draw your own conclusions about what it is that you're here to do, where you want to go, how you want to transform, what role is fear playing in your life, and how can you overcome that? Those are good things to think about this weekend. See you on Monday. Thank you so much. Bye.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.